1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll be reading from verses 12 to 26. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ears should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker and indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it.
Dear Father, we ask that you would open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word this morning, and we pray that by your Spirit, you'd be working in us and changing us from the inside. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How will Arborfield Church thrive? How will it grow, become mature? How will Arborfield Church thrive as a church? I wonder what you're thinking as I ask that question. Maybe you think it's got nothing to do with you. I'm useless. I have nothing to contribute. I'm not needed here, really. Have you ever thought that about your role at church? There are so many capable people here. I'd just slow everything down or get in the way if I was more involved. Maybe, on the other hand, you think it has everything to do with you. If only they would just leave that job to me, I'll sort it out. I don't need any help. Or if only there were more people like me here, then we'd get off the ground, then we'd thrive and grow as a church. Well, to varying degrees and in different ways, I'm sure we could all find ourselves somewhere along that spectrum, from feeling completely inadequate to feeling perhaps overly self-confident. So how should we view ourselves as part of the church? How can we thrive and become mature? And those are exactly the questions that Paul was addressing in 1 Corinthians. You see, the Corinthian church, there were many people who were teaching that to be truly mature, you needed certain gifts. You needed the spectacular gifts. And the result was a pretty messed up church. Some people were being held in really high regard, and others were being trampled down as if they weren't needed because they didn't have the same gifts. And so their church meetings were chaotic, they were self-centered, and frankly damaging. They were not thinking of one another. And so by the time we hit chapter 12, Paul uses one of his favorite metaphors for the church to teach about what the church should look like. He says the church is like a body. Have a look down again at verses 12 to 14. Paul says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. His point is that although the church is one, it's united, it's a unit, it's made up of many parts. Like our bodies, which have arms and legs and noses and ears and mouths and elbows and everything else, those parts form one body. But notice something at the end of verse 12. Paul says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and they're all parts, all its parts are many, they form one body. You'd expect him to then say, so it is with the church. But he doesn't say that. He says, so it is with Christ. And this is where Paul's use of the term the body is not just a metaphor. The spiritual reality for Christian believers is that we are truly the body of Christ. We truly form the body of Christ. We are united with him. Elsewhere in the letter, Paul uses really strong language about that. He says, you don't need to turn there, but in chapter 6, verse 15, Paul says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Later in the year, we'll be fleshing out more of what that means to be united in Christ, united with Christ. But Paul's point is clear. Through the love of God in Christ, we've been saved and gathered to be his body. And in Corinth, they really needed to hear that. Corinth was a cosmopolitan seaport. There were all sorts of people in Corinth. Verse 15 says, some of them Jews, Greeks, slaves, free. But the church has to be one in Christ, a body. And we need to hear that too. This is the third sermon in a series on service. It's French Open time, but I'm not talking about that sort of service. In the first sermon, we looked at reasons we don't serve. In the second sermon, we were reminded of the glorious and loving service of the Lord Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And in response to that today, we'll be looking at how we ought to serve one another as the body of Christ. And here's the first thing to notice. You can follow along in the insert of your service sheets. But here's the first point. We need one another. Jennifer joined the church after doing Christianity Explored, and she became a Christian. But a year or so later, she wanted to get more involved, maybe in the kids' work. She loved kids, or maybe elsewhere. And she thought she'd put herself forward to serve in some way. But as she looked around, she couldn't help to think that she was not quite up to the task. Everyone else seemed so confident and assured. They'd obviously been doing the job for years. I just don't have the experience that they have, she thought to herself. And my faith, well, my faith isn't as strong as hers, as theirs. And so she doesn't say anything, and she doesn't get involved. Look again at what Paul says in verse 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. All Christians belong to the body. And in order for the body to function properly, it needs all the parts working together. So the body, the church, needs Jennifer. And Jennifer needs the body. She needs the rest of the church. I just wonder in her situation whether it would have really helped if someone just came along and gently encouraged her to get involved in some way to serve. She needed to know that we need her as much as she needs us. None of us should feel unimportant, whether you've been a Christian for 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 20 years. You are an important part of the body, an important part of the church. So you need to hear that today. Or is there someone you can help to serve, like Jennifer, maybe someone who's just holding themselves back as they look around and they feel they can't serve in the same way as others? Because the opposite danger is highlighted in verse 21. Have a look at verse 21 briefly. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Have you ever, like me, been dropped from a team? I hated being dropped from a team when I was playing sport. It's an awful feeling. Being dropped is one of the worst things that can happen if you're part of a sports team. You watch your team go out to compete, and you're only good enough to sit on the bench on the side. Or maybe you've been made redundant before. There are some essential jobs at this company, but you're not one of them. In the church, Paul says, everyone is essential. But we must watch out for the dangerous and unhealthy attitude of feeling superior towards others. That superior attitude might come out in lots of ways. It might come out as people try to do too much, i.e. people who seemingly do everything without providing opportunities for others to serve because, quote, no one can do it as well as me. Alternatively, that superior attitude can come out when we think of areas of service we don't want to be involved in, i.e., I've done this for a really long time. Someone else should step up and help. Or I used to do that. It's someone else's job now. I've done my part. Or I'm already serving. Why should I do more? The health of the body depends on an attitude of serving one another, not serving ourselves. And this is a massive challenge to our individualism. In the Western world, individualism rules, really, doesn't it? But the church is a body. It's corporate. We belong for the sake of one another, which is why belonging to a church is so important. There are no lone ranger Christians in the Christian world, or passenger Christians. You can't be a passenger Christian. Those words just don't go together. It just leads to unhealthy individuals and unhealthy churches. Maybe those of you going to uni soon, like Becca and others, remember that when you go off to uni. You can't be a lone ranger Christian. You need the body. You need a church. Join a good church. Because we are interdependent, not independent. To use a silly illustration, you can't make a great cake unless you use all the ingredients together. So, for instance, you can't just chuck in a bag of flour in the oven and expect a cake to come out. Equally, the body of the church cannot be built on the work of a few individuals. It needs the whole, everyone mixed in, everyone working together. If you're a Christian, the church needs you. There's no opt-out option. So whether we feel good enough or strong enough or view ourselves too highly, serving the body is not the job of someone else. It's not the job of the minister or someone else who's kind of high up in the church. There's no rank or authority amongst us. It's an every member ministry. So again, for those of us who do lots, how can you encourage others to serve in the same way, in the service of the body? That's one of the benefits of being a small church. We can talk to one another. We know each other. We've got ample opportunity to talk and chat after the service in the week with home groups, etc. We need one another. Secondly, we differ from one another. Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Eyes cannot be ears. Ears cannot be noses. The body is united, but its body parts are diverse. Adrian has just moved into the area because of work, and he walks into church on Sunday morning, and he looks around, and he asks himself, can I belong here? He decides to stick around for a cup of tea, and he meets Emily, a mum with two kids. She introduces him to Bob, who's a retired army colonel, and he finds out from Bob that Bob's a widower. Bob introduces him to Sharon, who's serving the tea and coffee, and she's lived in the village her whole life. Sharon's pouring coffee for Dave, a recent graduate, who's also a software engineer. He's been helping out at Lasers with Liz. Liz is unemployed and does some cleaning part-time to pay the rent. As Adrian settles at church, he meets lots of different people from lots of different backgrounds. Young, old, single, married, working, unemployed, male, female, new believers, mature believers, ethnically different, politically different, socially different. You see, unity doesn't mean uniformity. In fact, the diversity of the body is a wonderful thing. It's not an accident. Verse 18, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Different strengths, different weaknesses, different gifts, different areas of service. For instance, not everyone can be a preacher. Not everyone can lead the music. Not everyone can lead a Christianity Explored group. No one gift is given to every Christian. But that's okay. We differ from one another, and only God, who makes us different, can hold us together. So what does that mean for us? Well, first of all, let's praise God for our diversity. The church is a place where people gather, and I get to look at you now, all a mixed bunch, where we all gather where there is no human reason to do so. Isn't that wonderful? All different backgrounds gather together, united in Christ. When you see that working, it's amazing. Take HPC, for example. Running HPC requires many different people and gifts. There's publicity work, a technical team, age group leaders, people meeting and greeting parents, people setting up and clearing up the site, others leading and teaching the children. Some run the game. Some do multiple jobs. Others are praying behind the scenes. That's just HPC. If you've ever been involved in HPC, you'll know the joy of working together for that great venture. Of course, you see it week by week in the running of Arborfield Church as well. Praise God that he's called us together. That's the glory of the church. In Christ, though we are so different, we are one. We belong to Christ and we belong to one another. So we mustn't look down on those who aren't like us. And we mustn't over-admire those who are, inverted commas, more capable than us. Without diversity, Paul says that we just become one giant organ, unable to do anything. Rejoice in our diversity. But also, it surely leads us to serve. This is the third and final point in our handout. We are to serve one another. That's what Paul goes on to say. He says, verse 22, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts we need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. The expectation of being part of the body is that we should serve and care for one another. Care is shown when we enter into the joys and sorrows of other members of the body. And at Arborfield, I think we do that really well. I think, for instance, in the period after our daughter Susanna was born, lots of people came over and brought us meals and shared in our joys. It was wonderful. We felt like such a part of the church, the body. And that's how it should be. Equally, we're good at sharing in one another's sorrows. When someone is grieving or in distress, people are quick to want to help. Again, that's how it should be. But there's no doubt that we could get better. I definitely include myself in that. And it's good and right from time to time that we stop and we take stock and we examine ourselves and look at how we're serving and caring for one another so that we do it better and we're better supporters of one another, both individually and corporately. So married people, for instance, if you're married, are you opening up your homes with those who aren't married or perhaps those who have lost a spouse. Many of you make single people here at Arborfield feel so welcome into your homes, like one of the family. Well, keep using your gifts of hospitality to serve those who don't have the responsibility and the privilege of being married. Share that with them. Invite them into your families. Those of us who have more time on our hands, are we using our time to encourage the body, to visit the sick or the elderly, to pray for the church, to meet up and pray with one another? Those who are great at, you know, all sorts of jobs. If you're great at cooking, can you use your skills when we have events where we need to cater for large numbers? Those of us who aren't allergic to children, which hopefully is most of us, can we serve by joining one of the children and young people's ministry teams where there is great need for leaders in September? We have lots of children here. They're very precious to us. They're part of the body. And we want to serve them well, but in order to serve them well, we need people to lead those groups and to join in those groups. And there's other stuff we'd love to do as well, but we can't until we have people serving together and joining together as the body should. There are many and multiple ways we should serve the body on a week-by-week basis. But that might still leave you thinking, okay, where exactly should I serve then? You know, individually, together, where exactly should I serve? And I've just offered a few practical steps you could take to help you know where you might serve the body better. So let me give them to you. Number one, pray. Pray that God would give you the right motivation to serve and a willingness to serve just as Christ served us. Pray. Number two, look. Look around. Where are the needs? Where can I serve? Not just in the formal areas, but including the formal areas, also behind the scenes, in the day-to-day life of the church, not just on Sundays. Look around. Where are the needs? Where can I help my brothers and sisters in Christ? Three, listen. What are others saying about my gifts and my strengths and where I might be able to serve? But also, where are the needs? What are others saying about where people need help? Where ministries need leaders? Number four, speak. Speak to one of the team about serving. Because ideally, the staff team, though we long to serve in many and various ways, we're here primarily to help the body serve better. We're not here to displace anyone from serving. We want to give opportunities for everyone to serve the body so that it functions well. It's actually a sign of an unhealthy church if you notice the paid staff doing more than anyone else or seemingly trying to do everything. If we're doing that, please tell us, because we long to open up opportunities for others to serve. And number five, act. Get involved. Get stuck in. Serve. Sign up for HBC. Help out in many and other areas. Sharing in the sorrows and joys of the body. That's what Paul is talking about. Having a concern for one another. And the only way we can do that is by looking beyond ourselves. Paul doesn't say that's easy, but that's the path our Master, the Lord Jesus, took. I'll finish by reminding us of these words from Mark 10:45, which we saw last week. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Out of love for his people, his body, Jesus came down to earth to serve. He walked the earth. He didn't think us unimportant. He loved us. He died for us. And if we want to grow as a church, if we want to be healthy, if we want to be mature and to thrive, we're to serve in the same way, giving our lives for one another. We need one another. Though we're all different, we're united in Christ. And all of us play an important part in the body. Let's pray as we close. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus who came to serve us, though we're weak and lowly and full of rebellion and sin, he still came down and served and died for us. Please help us to be motivated by that love. Help us to love one another as part of the body of Christ. And Father, we pray that you'd show each of us ways that we can serve the body better. Please open our eyes to see the need and help us to serve out of love, not out of compulsion, but out of love for one another and of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.